All right, you'll be finding in your Bibles Psalm chapter number 51. The Bible says or teaches us about the gospel, and when you look that up, it talks about it being the good news. So lots of times at church, I'll say, open your Bibles to the gospel of Psalms. Amen. Yeah. But if you'll find your places in Psalm chapter number 51, I got up early this morning and trying to make certain of the mind of the Lord. I had a burning thought, I guess you'd say, on my heart on the way in case Brother Shepherd decided to use us while we were here any. And I really thought I was going to go back to Psalm 25 on finding help at the throne of grace. But I really feel like the Lord wants us to go this route. This was what the Lord had on my heart this morning. And it's evident that the service, as far as the singing and testifying and talk, has went this direction. So I trust the Lord to use it, and we'll be able to be a blessing and a help to you. Let me say by way of introduction before I read the text, the Bible did say to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. And this is just a grayology thought, but you take it for what it's worth. But you know, although he was guilty of murder, in reality, although he was guilty of putting strong drink to his neighbor's lips, although he was guilty of disobedience to God in his service that he was supposed to perform, everything that God mentions of him pertains to the adultery with Bathsheba. God exalted that sin for us to see how horrible that sin really is. Amen. And I can't put it all in perspective, but God really birthed that thought into my heart and mind as God gave us the message out of this text. But I'm not preaching on that, so you can breathe a sigh of relief, all right? Have mercy upon me, verse number 1, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Can I just stop there long enough to say this? Whatever God does is right.
Yes.
And we don't have a right to second guess it.
That's right.
Amen. We might not like what's been done. We might not feel just in the sense of that it's happened to us or our family. But it doesn't matter. What God has done is always right. Because we don't know what the end result may be. Amen. Or even why the deepest thoughts of the heart and why God allowed that to happen. But verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. We'll be preaching our main theme or thought this morning out of verse number 12, where the Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. We thank you, Lord, for your safety and watch care about us. Lord, the care that you've given unto us, your children, as we have traveled, Lord, many miles and for several hours, Lord, to even get back to Kentucky for the visits that we plan to make, and Lord, for the reasons that go beyond our understanding. Lord, we did not know, Lord, when we got here that we was going to be faced with some of the things that we've been faced with already. And Lord, I pray, dear God, for that comfort as only you can give. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help your people today. I thank you for the opportunity and privilege to be able to preach to thy people. I pray, God, that you'd touch them and help them. Lord, may we all receive that is needed in our heart and life this morning. Lord, I want to say thank you for the Sunday school time and the lesson that was taught, Lord, and how true these parallels are in our life, Lord, even to Satan. Lord, we ought to be more like you, and you said it's predestined that we be conformed unto the image of your dear Son. But Lord, as we saw this morning from the mirror of the Word of God, so many times we're still more like the old Satan, the old flesh, Lord. And I pray, God, you cleanse us from that, Lord, and help us, dear God, to be more like you in all of our ways. And we'll thank you and praise you for that. Bless the Word of God now, Lord. Use your servant according to your blessed will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Dealing with the thought of the joy of salvation this morning. The joy of salvation. And as I said many weeks ago, amen, and I believe still holds true today, I'm afraid that many of the children of God, due to different circumstances in life, have left their joy or lost their joy. Amen. The Bible teaches us that no man can take our joy from us. Amen, but we can give it up. We can allow it to be removed from our life. And I think it's obvious and reasonable to believe what I'm fixing to say is this, that when we do not thank God for what he has done for us, it's easy for us to forget to give thanks to God. It's easy for us to not enjoy those things. You know, the more you do certain things, I'm talking about things that are right and things that bring pleasure to you, things that make you comfortable, the more you do those things, the more pleasure you take in those things, the more joy that you have in those things. It's no secret around here that I like to fish. So the more I get to fish, the more joy I have about fishing. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that we ought to never allow ourselves, amen, to lose our joy of what God has done for us. Amen. And I know I don't have to make this statement here, but it just goes with the thought and the message, of course, but I'm glad that salvation can't be taken from us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad we can't lose it.
Right.
I'm glad I don't have to work to keep it. But I'm glad salvation is a work of God that causes me to want to work for him. Amen. Amen. I'm glad it changed my heart and my life. And I'm glad it changed my way of thinking. Amen. I'm glad it brought new hopes and new joys and new pleasures in my life in the spiritual realm, if I may put it that way. But it is true that people lose their joy. Saved people lose the joy of salvation. Surely you wouldn't think that David, the man of God, the man after God's own heart, was saved and then lost his salvation and then got it again. You wouldn't think that. Surely you wouldn't think that. But what I'm telling you is this, he lost the joy of it. In other words, the excitement, the newness. Amen. I was looking at our vehicle yesterday, I believe it was, and I saw a place on it, one particular place, amen, that had red paint. And I was like, where'd that come from? And my wife confessed that she hit it with a grocery cart. Amen. The newness is gone. It's going to be paid for come November. But the truth of the matter is, it still felt like a new vehicle, amen, until I saw that red paint on there. Hallelujah. The newness wore off then, amen. I said, well, it's just another old vehicle now, amen. What are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you that the newness of Jesus has wore off on a lot of people. Amen. They have forgotten where he brought them from. They have forgotten where he's brought you to. And you have forgotten, amen, what he's doing for you at the current time and what he has intended for you at the end of the journey. Amen. And I think that's where David got messed up. I think he got his eyes, of course, evidently on a woman, but he got his eyes off of Jesus. Amen. Got to looking at the things and the prosperity and the pleasures of the flesh. Amen. And lost the joy of his salvation. That is a simple fact that if one has lost their joy, then sorrow would have filled their heart. Is that not right? Amen. If you don't have joy, then there's sorrow. You can't have both. Amen. I believe you can have comfort along with sadness. Amen. I believe you can have sadness, amen, without comfort. I believe you can have sadness, of course, without joy. But you're never going to have joy and sadness, amen, be pulling you down all at the same time. Amen. We can rejoice in times of sorrow. Amen. We can have a blessed hope and a blessed assurance. You know, I'm probably, and I'm saying probably because I don't know what God's will is, but I'm probably fixing to face something that I really don't want to face in my natural life. Amen. My mom's probably fixing to pull out of this world. Amen. And head to the other side. I didn't want to lose my daddy, but without any problem to say this. Amen. Because daddy worked and provided for his family. I've always been around mama. If you want to call me a mama's boy, that's fine. I'll take the title. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that as long as mama don't teach them to be a sissy.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Boys ought to be boys. Amen. They ought to grow into men.
Amen.
Amen. Ought to have a little backbone about them. Amen. But nonetheless, I don't know how I got off on all that. But there are many reasons for sorrow to come into our life, so I'll not try to name them in any detail this morning. But whatever the reason for the sorrow, though, we usually lose our joy. In other words, when those sad times come, when a tragedy comes, when a catastrophic event comes, you know, we begin to lose our joy. Amen. We begin to let sorrow fill our heart. I believe Jesus said that one time to his disciples, "Why has sorrow filled thine heart?" Amen. Can I ask you that question this morning? If you are here and you're full of sorrow, why has sorrow filled your heart? If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, you ought to be able to get your joy restored. Amen. In the salvation that God has given unto you. Amen. If you can't get excited about being saved, then I would check up and make sure I was. Amen. Brother Hall used to say time and time again, amen, people rejoice when preachers get up. Amen, they just shout, amen, the house down, run the aisles. When they preach against TV and pants on women and shorts on everybody, amen, and all of these kind of things, and they just have a good old time. But somebody get up and preach a message about the cross of Calvary and Jesus dying for their sin, and they all sit out there like a knot on a log, amen. Why? Because they didn't really have joy in salvation. They didn't have it. I didn't say they wasn't saved. I said they didn't have it. Amen. Didn't have the joy. But Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You want me to tell you why we got a lot of weak Christians today? Because they haven't got no joy in the Lord. Amen. He's our strength. Hey man, you want me to tell you why people ain't standing? And I know that's not good English, but it's good preaching. Ain't standing for the glory of God today, and ain't standing for the Lord and the service of the Lord, and ain't staying faithful in the things of God, being steadfast, is because they're too weak. Hey man, they don't have the joy of the Lord. Hey man, we'll get to the glory here in just a minute. Y'all endure the affliction and the joy will come. Hey man. But notice here what he said, or teaches us. It is so easy to allow the cares of this life to steal our heart and mind away from what God has provided for us, thus leaving us sorrowful and weak rather than rejoicing and strong. Amen. As the psalmist says here, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I'm glad I ain't the one that's got to keep it. I'm glad I ain't the one that's got to try to make up the joy. Amen. I'm glad I'm not a motivated and motivational speaker. Amen. I'm glad I'm just a preacher. Amen. That tries to preach the word of God as thus saith the Lord. Amen. Let the chips fall where they may. Amen. Stand for the glory of God on this King James Bible and let God do a work in people's heart. Amen. I'm learning. I won't say I've learned it. But I'm learning that it's probably even best you don't lead a horse to water. I can't make him drink. And I've been trying to do that for many years. But I've come to the conclusion that I don't even need to lead him there. If Jesus don't pull him there, he ain't no hope for him anyway. Amen. Preacher, you calling me a horse? No, I'm not. Amen. Just a figure of speech, all right? May God help us to remember what he has provided that our joy might remain steadfast even when times of sorrow tries to overtake us. Amen. And that's what the Lord give me. I mean, just when I began, and I don't know how many times I've preached out of Psalm 51 and heard preaching out of Psalm 51. And I'm not saying this is anything new by any means. There's nothing new under the sun. But, you know, sometimes God gives you a perspective in life, especially with circumstances that you may be going through in your life. And God uses it, and it's not a change. It's not a compromise. He doesn't change his word, but he allows you to have an application, amen, for the word of God in your life. And I found that many times, amen, that I allow my thankfulness, amen, to be removed from my mind and my heart and my lips. Amen. Because of circumstances in life. Amen. I'm not preaching against you today. Amen. I'm preaching for us today. Amen. If God be for us, who then can be against us? Amen. If God wants us to be happy, do you really think that we as wicked parents, amen, when I say wicked, I mean in reference to God, do you really think that we as earthly wicked parents that want the best for our children, amen, would be more godly than God would toward his children? No. Amen. I'm glad there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning with him. Amen. I'm glad he loves his own. Amen. And he'll not forsake his own. And if you think for one minute God wants you to live in a place of sorrow and regret, amen, and depression and discouragement in your life, you have not studied your Bible enough. Amen. God doesn't want that in our life. He wants us to rejoice. Amen. Everything you find about Jesus is rejoicing. I mean, I know he was grieved at times because of people's unbelief and things of that nature. I'm not talking about that. But every time you look at Jesus in his earthly life, every time you look at the scenes that's going on in glory, it's already been made mention about. Amen. It's always rejoicing. There's some things that we've got to rejoice about. Amen. If the Lord will help us, I want us to try to look at those things. Amen. Don't get carried away now with some things that I got to say. Y'all know how I believe. Amen. But don't get carried away about some of these things, because I know some people can take it and go to an extreme in a different direction. But I believe when we consider these three things in our life, I believe it'll help our joy to be restored. It'll help our joy to be restored. Amen. The first thing is the favor of God. When we begin to think about God's favor toward man, oh my goodness. I don't know as I've ever looked at it this way, Brother Shepherd. I really don't. Amen. I know I haven't in this one particular area. Amen. But to think that God thought upon us, amen, before time began as we know it. Amen. I'm talking about back in eternity. Amen. I'm not talking about predestination for Joel Gray to get saved or predestination for you to get saved, but I'm talking about predestination of salvation. Amen. To come for all mankind, made an opportunity, made an availability. Amen. That we might experience the favor of God. Oh, that God loved us before there ever were us. That God made a plan, and I don't even really like to use that word, but you bear with me on that, okay? But that God made a plan of salvation. Amen. Before there ever was anybody that needed salvation. Amen. I'm talking about the favor of God. I'm talking about God, amen, in all of eternity before, amen, thought upon us, amen, human beings that didn't deserve forgiveness, didn't deserve salvation, but he said, I'm making a way. Hallelujah. I'm making a way. As we have always said and heard, Jesus or Calvary was not a second thought. It was the first thought. It was the only thought. Amen. That there was in 1 Peter 1:18-21. The Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. Before anything, the ordinance came from God himself that Jesus would die on the cross for the sin of mankind. Amen. Foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Boy, I'm glad I heard about Jesus, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad I heard that God had a plan. Amen. And I'm glad that Joel Gray got introduced to that plan and accepted that plan and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And now I'm going to be part of the bigger plan. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I'm talking about the favor of God. If this doesn't restore some joy about your salvation, then again, I'm going to say boldly enough that you need to check up. Amen. That God would think upon us. Amen. Before we ever were us. Amen. Somebody may be here lost and don't even know God. And I want to say that God had you in mind. You know, they used to sing that song all the time. I don't know why we don't hear it anymore. But I'm telling you that you used to sing the song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Amen. Well, I want to say I was on his mind a long time before he came to the cross. Hallelujah. But he was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And I'm glad, glory to God, I can have joy in the salvation that God has given me because he showed favor to me. Amen. Favor, he said, was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. See, it's all about God. Now, I'm not taking away from Jesus. Y'all know that. They're one and the same. I understand the best I know how to understand the Trinity. Okay, I'll just say it that way. But I'm telling you, my faith and hope is in what God has done. The fact that he cared enough for me. Amen, that he made a way. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm glad he didn't stop with just making a way. See, if we'd have just been found in the favor of God, and God just said, I would make a way for you. Boy, I'm telling you, we'd be in a bad shape, wouldn't we? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. But I'm glad, amen, it's not just the favor of God, but it's the forgiveness of God. I'm going to tell you why we can have joy and why our joy can be restored this morning is because we've had the forgiveness of God. Amen. Not the forgiveness, just the forgiveness rather of sin to be saved, but the forgiveness of our sins after we are saved. Amen. Let me just say some things here real quickly. Amen. The Bible said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank God for peace. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God not only made a new creature out of me, amen, but Christ ever lives in me through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's ever seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, that any sin that is committed after that fact can be reconciled. Hallelujah. He's given unto us also that ministry of reconciliation. Notice in Colossians 1, 9 through 17, the Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might," here it is, "according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Oh my. Have we lost our joy? Is our heart's plea today, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation"? Amen. Notice here what the Bible teaches us, "giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Amen. And then John tells us in 1 John 1 about how their hands had handled of the word of life. And he goes on and talks about our fellowship, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we come down and it talks about being deceived, and it talks about lying, and it talks about saying that we have no sin and all of these things, you know. And I'm telling you right now, if you think you are sinless today, you are a very bold sinner. Because you didn't just lie to everybody you talked to about it. You lied to God. You're calling Him a liar. Amen. You're denying that His word is true. I preached a message here the other day out of John 10. And I didn't always know this by any means. I don't think that I never knew it. I don't think that I ever looked it up. But the truth of the matter is, I found out for sure what it was this time. But the same are thieves and robbers. A thief is one, just to give it as an illustration, a thief is one that would sneak into a place and steal something that doesn't belong to them without any violence and without any harm or hazard to the person or persons that they're stealing from. But a robber is one that comes with violence, one that comes with mischief, one that comes to do hurt, one that comes to bring hazard and destruction, not only to the material things, but to the persons as well. And Jesus said, all those others are thieves and robbers. Amen. He didn't come to hurt us. Amen. Sometimes we might think that the things that happen in our life is a hurt or a hazard to us. He didn't come to hurt us. He didn't come to bring hazards into our life that way. Amen. He come to bring us joy. Amen. Amen. And if you'll trust Him, He'll bring you joy. Amen. But anyway, back to 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Do you think for one minute that God wants you to be unrighteous? He wants you to become as perfect as you know how to be.
Amen.
Amen. We can't expect a year old to act like a 53-year-old. Amen. We can't expect someone that's 20 to have the knowledge. I'm not saying that they can't have it. I'm just saying we can't expect it to have the knowledge of a 50-year-old. We can't expect them to think the same way, necessarily act the same way. But I do want to say this, as a child of God, there ought to be that righteousness that as we know what is right, we walk therein.
Amen.
Amen. And we ought to be striving to have that fulfilled in all the areas of our life. Amen. The forgiveness. If you can't have joy because of the favor, surely you can have joy because of His forgiveness.
Amen.
I dare say that there's not a one of us in here that today that did not commit a sin against God this last week.
Right.
Not asking you to name it. Not trying to get you to dwell in it. But what I'm telling you is, you ought to be able to rejoice this morning because He'll forgive you of that sin.
Amen.
Amen. He'll forgive you where you failed. Amen. He'll forgive you for all those wicked thoughts. He said that's what defiles the man. The evil thoughts that come out of the heart. Matthew chapter number 15. That's the first thing on the list. Amen. I've been taught all my life that thoughts weren't a sin, but that Bible says different. Amen. Evil thoughts. Isn't that what he said? That's what defiles a man. See, you can say anything you want to say to me, and you can show me anything you want to show me, but that evil thought that comes into my mind is what produces the sin. Amen. Comes out of my heart, buddy, and begins to show itself and bring forth fruit. Amen. But I'm glad for the forgiveness of God. Lastly, I'm glad for the faithfulness of God. I can have joy this morning because of His faithfulness. I'm glad He's not like we are. You know, as long as everybody's treating us nice, we can be their faithful friend. But when they don't agree with us, or they didn't do us right, then we feel like we've got a justified reason to not be faithful to them. We need to be faithful, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. But God is faithful. He can't be anything else but. He's faithful. Amen. Now I want to say this quickly, and then I'll get into the good part. I want to say He's faithful to judge unrighteousness as well. He can't let us sin and get by. Not going to. Amen. He can't do it. But I'm glad He's faithful. Amen. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him. God gave me this verse of scripture many years ago in Shawneetown. With them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations.
Amen.
Now I'm not going and reading the negative side in the next verse. But I'm telling you, He will reward the iniquities. Amen. But listen to me. Amen. He said to them that love Him and keep His commandments. Don't claim that blessed promise in Deuteronomy 7:9 if you don't love Him this morning and you're not walking in His commandments.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We don't have the benefit, the privilege, or the right, amen, to claim the promises of God if we're not walking in accordance to the will of God. Amen. We can't claim those promises. But I want to say He's faithful. I want to say He's faithful, number one, in pardon.
Amen.
He's faithful in pardon. I've already said it, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I'm glad He's given us that. It's not because He has to because of us. It's because He has to according to Him.
Right.
He said He would.
Right.
Amen. He cannot lie. Amen. He cannot back up on His word. Hey man, I'm glad He can't make a promise and then break it. Amen. Now He might make a conditional promise, but He doesn't make a promise and break it. Amen. If you do what you're supposed to do, He will do what He's supposed to do. Amen. And there are certain things He's going to do whether you do what you're supposed to do or not. Amen. But 1 Peter 4:19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. As we have seen His creation be faithful, amen, in what He told it to do, amen, we can believe that He will be faithful to us because we are His creation. Amen. He'll be faithful to us. Amen. He tells the stars to hang there. He tells the earth, amen, to sit there. He tells the sun, I know this goes against some people's grain, but He tells the sun when to rise and when to set. Amen.
Amen.
He tells the clouds when to drop the rain.
Yep.
He tells the storms when to come through.
Yep.
Amen. He is the Creator. And not just the Creator, but the faithful Creator.
Amen.
Amen. You mark that down. We can rejoice and have our joy restored in the fact that He is the Creator.
Amen.
Not only of heaven and earth as we know it, but us as well. Amen. I'm glad He formed me in my mother's womb. Amen. You might think I'm the ugliest thing in the world, but to God I am exactly what He wanted me to be.
Amen.
And that pleases Him, so I thank God for it. Amen. Hebrews 2:17 says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Already kind of hit that a little bit. "But he became flesh, that he might be faithful." You say, "Well, God just can't know what I'm going through." Yes, he does. Nothing's hid from him. I was driving some clients home Thursday, and I can't believe I hadn't brought the subject up before, but maybe they just forgot or whatever the case may be. But there was this woman on there in particular that started talking and talking a little bit out of the way and things of that nature. So I began to use a verse of Scripture. You know, she tells me that she loves God and she's a believer and, you know, and she reads her Bible and prays. But I got a feeling it ain't doing her much good. I don't mean that mean, but I'm serious when I say that. I don't believe a person is going to talk like that, live like that, and act like that because I know some other personal details that she has made mention of in her life. Amen. And I just don't believe God be pleased with that. But anyway, it came about, and I told her I was a pastor, and then I pastored Vision Baptist Church on 16 North there, close to Wheelbar. "Oh, my God, you're a preacher, and I've talked like this, and I've said words, and oh, I ain't going to say another word like that." You know what I told her? I said, "Ma'am, I appreciate the respect, but I said, God sees you everywhere you go, and everything that you say, he hears." I said, "It's him you're offending." Amen. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the talk. I told her this. I don't like that kind of talk. But it's him that you're offending. You need to make sure that you are right with him. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. He is a faithful high priest. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Amen. We can hold fast that profession of faith. Why? Because he'll not do against what he said he would do. Amen. And if he said, "You're saved," you're saved. Yep. Amen. If he said he loves you, he loves you. Right. Amen. If he said he's going to take care of you and provide for you, he's going to take care of you and provide for you. I say it a lot. I won't say all the time, but I say it a lot at Vision. I say, it amazes me that you can believe God would save you from hell and take you to heaven and have a place prepared for you and take care of you that way, but you can't trust him for your earthly needs. Now that doesn't excuse the fact that we're supposed to work. Amen. I got out there and started picking up tree limbs and everything and weed eating a little bit at Joseph's last night. Amen. Because I knew Sam's pizza was coming. Praise God. I wanted to eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. So I wanted to eat. So I got out there and worked. Amen. I don't say this braggingly. I wish I could still do like I used to, but I'm a worker. I like to work. Amen. I'm getting lazier, but I like to work. You know, driving ain't hard work, but when you're in that van 12 to 14 hours out of the day and you go home, you don't feel like doing anything but taking a shower and sitting back in your recliner and relaxing. Amen. I'm getting lazy in that aspect of it, but I like to work. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." Amen. Is that not something to rejoice about today? Even if we quit believing, thank God he abides faithful. Amen. He cannot, the Bible says, deny himself. I want to say secondly, in this faithfulness of God, not only do we see he's faithful in pardon, but he's faithful in providence or our path. Me and Brother Hall had that discussion years ago about that. And providence is simply the path that God has ordained for you to walk in. God has a perfect will for each and every one of us to walk in. Can I say it this way? A job for us to accomplish. Amen. And when we are not walking in that path and we're not performing those job responsibilities that we're supposed to be performing with joy in God, then we're not right with Him. Amen. You can't expect to have joy when you're not in His path. Amen. I'm glad that when we find the will of God, and can I say this? We don't use the term find as in it's hidden from us. We use the term find as in us getting where we're supposed to be. God didn't move it and God didn't hide it. He's established it. Amen. And a path is a place that is well known to be trodden already. Amen. In other words, He didn't call us necessary. What's that fancy word? To pioneer a new path. He called us down a path that is already trodden, beaten down, cleared out by Him, might I just go ahead and add. Amen. For us in our life. I'm not to walk in your shoes. You're not to walk in mine. But we ought to be walking with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that He's faithful. Amen. In His providence. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but Jesus does. And you're not going through anything new that somebody else hadn't already went through. Amen. He said, but God is faithful. He didn't say, but God might be. He said, but God is faithful. Amen. Present tense. He didn't say God used to be. He didn't say God will be. He said, God is. Amen. He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. They think that God's supposed to just take that problem away. He don't just always take it away. But He will give us grace to get through it, that we may be able to bear it. You know, I've preached this many times, and especially after God showed it to me some years ago. But when Peter got out of that boat to walk on water, the storm never stopped.
Right.
And when Jesus went back in the boat with Peter, the storm hadn't stopped. But they still went to the other side.
Amen.
And Peter didn't drown.
Yeah.
Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the storm can keep raging. And Jesus can bring you joy because He's faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Yes,
He'll carry you through the storm.
Yes.
If you lose faith, if you lose sight of Jesus, if you begin to fall into a category of unbelief, I'm glad if you'll cry out, Lord, save me.
Amen.
He'll pick you up.
Amen.
Take you back into the ship.
Yep.
Amen. And you'll go to the other side.
Amen.
Amen. And I got to say this, I don't want to leave it out. And they worshiped Him when He got back in the ship. They rejoiced. Can I say it that way? Amen. Thank God. But I want to say in 2 Timothy 3:3, He says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil.
Amen.
I don't mean evil won't be there, but He'll keep you from getting involved in it.
Amen.
I'm glad for His protection. I'm glad if we're in obedience to the Lord. See, I don't know if some of y'all remember this or not, but years ago, this was before I ever even came to Madisonville, but years ago there was a bad tornado that went through Providence. And a lot of people ran to the church because they just automatically thought, well, if I get to the church, I'll be okay. It wasn't on a Sunday. Anything like that, but they was just running to the church for the protection. Stable building, you know, and you know how people's minds are, whether they know God or not. When a bad thing is happening, they cry out to God or they want to run to God and use God like a spare tire. And so they went into that church, and that church collapsed, and many people died because of that tornado. You want me to tell you what will save people from whatever it may be, the storm, some kind of catastrophic event or sorrows that come in our way, is by being obedient. It's not necessarily the location that we may get to. It's the obedience that we have before God. I don't want to ever forsake God. Amen. I want to be obedient to Him. I want to follow Him in the path that He's given me. Amen. And as long as I'm walking in His path, If the storm picks me up and carries me away, praise God, just call me Elijah. Yeah. Amen. I remember in that particular storm, I'm telling you, that they found a lady planted in a tree, unhurt, shooken up, of course, rightfully so, bruised, but unhurt as far as broken bones or not dead.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that so she was walking in obedience to God, but I'm just giving that as an example that God can do whatever He wants to do. Amen. If we're in His path, His providence. I want to say thirdly, I'm glad He's faithful in passing. 1 Corinthians 1:4-9, the Bible says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful,
amen,
by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to say He's faithful in passing.
Yes.
Whether it be His coming and us leaving here in what we commonly refer to as the rapture of the church,
right,
or whether it be by the way of the grave,
yep,
He's faithful.
I
was thinking about this. One of our church members got a bad report pertaining to his wife here a while back. And she might be on the downward spiral due to the disease of Alzheimer's. And the signs and symptoms that she started having was usually the symptoms that started right before death came. And, of course, it tore him up, you know, tore us up as a church, praying for her and everything. And God, for however long and whatever reason, has touched her.
Amen.
And she's went back to being able to swallow normally and not having the coughing and the congestion and all of those things. But I said all that to say this, as those thoughts, as those possibilities, let me say it that way, as those possibilities came, God began to birth a thought in my heart. Never looked at it this way, but He tells us precious in the sight of the Lord,
yep,
is the death of one of His saints.
Right.
And I began to think about what makes it precious. What is precious? Without a doubt, precious is probably a lot stronger word than what we really give it credit for. But precious is probably, in reference, the most valuable thing that you hold dear. The most valuable thing that you hold dear. Now, I'm not even going to give you some of the other thoughts I might have to preach it one of these days. But if you just think about that, when God said precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. Can I give you this much of it? He's saying it's more important to me to have him or her here with me than it is for me to leave him or her there with you. It's time for me to have my time. Can I say it that way? When I walked into that hospital room yesterday, me and my wife and girls and Jonathan, and we walked in there, that was the only word that I could understand that my mama said at first. Precious. Precious. Everyone. Precious.
Amen.
And my mind immediately ran to that thought.
Yep.
I can honestly say this from talking with my mom every week. And although there's things that you could say in a negative aspect, my mom always thought her three boys was the most precious things to her. I mean, she made people feel like that they were unwanted, unloved, and uncared for in any way, shape, or form except for her boys, including her mate. because they were precious to her. I'm asking you this morning, how precious is Christ to us?
Amen.
We know how precious we are to Him now. But how precious is He to us?
Amen.
Is He precious enough that we're willing to cry out if we need to, Lord, restore unto us the joy of Thy salvation?
Amen.
Help us to rejoice, Lord, in what You've done for us. I'm so sorry, Lord, that I've mistreated You for these days, these weeks, these months, these years, and not been able to rejoice in Thy salvation. Lord, help us to get our joy restored.
Amen.
Amen. Remember, it's in Him. If your joy only is come into your life because of your mate, because of your children, because of your pastor, because of your church, because of some acquaintance that you have or monetary gain that you have, then that joy can be taken away. That joy can be easily lost. But if your joy is truly in the salvation of the Lord, not that you can't lose it, because we see the evidence that you can, but not that you can't lose it, but it's a whole lot harder to lose if we keep our eyes on Him.
Amen.
And remember what He's done for us. Where would you be today if God hadn't saved you?
Yep.
I know it's impossible for you to answer that question. But where would we be today if God hadn't saved us? Amen. If God hadn't redeemed us by His precious blood.
Amen.
Whew, boy, there's another thought for that precious, ain't it? That precious blood. God thought that blood was so precious that He let it redeem all of mankind that would receive it. Precious. I'm glad He's precious to me today.
Yes.
Amen. There's a song, I forget if this is the exact title, but Jesus is so precious to me.
Yep.
Amen. He is. So many times we fail to recognize just how precious He really is. And that's when we lose that joy.
Right.
So, do you have that joy this morning? If you don't, I'm glad He can restore it.
Amen.
Amen. Get rid of the sin in your life. That's the ultimate cause of the loss of joy. Get rid of that sin in your life. Amen. Confess it, forsake it, and let the joy of God flow once again.
Right.
Father, take the word of God today. Use it for Your honor, Your glory. Bless the man of God. Bless the church. Lord, as He gives the invitation, as He sees fit, I pray, Lord, that You do the work that needs to be done in our hearts and our lives. Thank You for Your help in preaching. I pray, Lord, that You'd use it to be a blessing and a help to Your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Preacher, You come as we stand.